Sí.
What's up, guys? Joe and Jody here for the After the Show show. And hey, listen, we had a chance to chill online with Bill Starkey. What'd you think, Jody?
I had a great time talking to Bill Starkey. It's the first time I've ever got to speak with him. It's great.
Yeah, it was my first time ever like asking him questions and stuff. It's really funny because way back in the day, back when Podcast Rock City first started out, he was going to be on the show for the anniversary. He was going to be on Podcast Rock City, and we had a problem, and I wasn't able to get it until just now. And, you know, it was a lot of fun, and I think you and I were both in awe, even though he seemed so humble.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It was. So if you guys, you know, just stick around right here, you're going to hear our quaint little conversation with the Commander-in-Chief of the KISS Army, Bill Starkey.
Check it out.
Podcast Rock City. Yes!
We have a premium section on our website, and we thought, man, it would be cool to add Bill to that, like 10 minutes of just BSing with Bill.
And I can, because remember, those are my initials.
That's funny.
Yeah.
We could call it BSing with Bill Starkey.
So how are you, Bill?
I'm good. How about you guys? I'm getting ready for the holidays.
Yeah, yes, sir. Too. I am excited about. We have lasagna at my house every year. So
yeah, and I think that's what we're gonna have too, because my sister's more into lasagna than turkey.
Wow.
I would probably prefer the turkey, but you know.
Yeah, me too.
It is what it is. It's just to get it with the family, and you know.
Heck yeah.
Are you? How many brothers and sisters do you have?
One each.
Oh.
And they were also part of the KISS stuff too. It was funny. It was very young for them.
How much younger are they?
My brother's about, I think, let's see, 5 years younger, and my sister's at least 10 or more.
Oh, okay.
And my sister still laughs and says that she kissed Gene Simmons when she was like 6 or 7, which is funny.
Oh, that's cute. That's a good story.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been a KISS family. Like I said, my dad took me to my first KISS show. My mom took me to my second, and then my third one was when we took the initial guys to the KISS Army thing, and we actually did that on our own, which was like Detroit Rock City, the movie. I mean, right. just getting a car full of guys, hey, go see this rock concert.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. I've always just been curious about this. Okay, so everyone knows you're kind of like the commander and founder of the KISS Army, right?
So, yeah, I guess by default.
So, I mean, does it blow your mind that, you know, more or less 40 years later, we're still talking about the KISS Army and they're still a thing, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because there were times like in the 80s that I almost thought that it would just be one of those obscure things, because you had the band changing members and, you know, they'd taken their makeup off. And no, I did. I had no idea that it would. And, you know, even with the new lineup, I'm kind of surprised that the intensity and the fans are just as incredible as it's ever been. I mean, people are, you know, it's just amazing. So no, it does blow my mind. Yeah, I mean, I'm 60 years old. So I mean, when I started, when I was 18. So no, it's my 15 minutes of fame or whatever's way on overtime.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It feels like that, but. You know, you helped create something so iconic, and so it's like, you know, you say the KISS Army, and everybody, it's very few people that don't know what you're talking about, you know, it's just...
Yeah, like, I like how the fact that it crosses a lot of social, cultural things, like I've seen it mentioned on The Simpsons, I've seen it mentioned on Jeopardy, I mean, to me, those are the things that just really blow me away, because... I do, and to me, it's not a Bill Starkey, Jay Evans thing. It's a KISS fan kind of thing, and the fact that it gets that kind of recognition is not just cool for KISS, but for rock and roll in general. Because you know, it's just one of those unique names for a group of KISS fans that almost displays the intensity that KISS fans have and create for the band. You know, so
Well, I'll tell you this, Bill. Your humbleness is so refreshing.
You know, I get that a lot. I mean, it's just the way I am. I have no reason to put on any air about anything. I mean, I'm just so humbled by the attention because I'm just a fan like you guys are. I don't, you know, go to work any differently or anything like that. I mean, I can't put myself above any other Kiss fan. I mean, I could probably lose in some Kiss trivia contest. And I could probably win some stuff too. But I mean, because the people I've met in my lifetime, I'm like, gee, I mean, you guys are really, you guys know your stuff. So I don't know. I'm just maybe the humble stuff. I don't know. It just comes. It's just one of those things. I can't see any reason to be. Yeah, of course I'm in awe of the Kiss Army and all that. But to me, the Kiss Army is more about you all people, not me and somebody else. We just happen to like be the messengers of what happened. And who knows? If we hadn't done it, somebody else in Michigan or Ohio or somebody else might have done the same thing. It was just bound to happen.
True.
Sure.
But it's still cool. You have the distinction of being a guy, you know?
But guys, it's not like it did anything for my love life or my bank account or anything like that. I mean, I go to work and it is kind of cool now that you can do Google. My students can do a Google search on me and come up with a lot of stuff. And then you have to explain to them and as politically correct as you can what this is all about. You know, fortunately, they're pretty cool about it. And I don't know how they would perceive the music or anything like that, but you know, it's just a humbling experience to some degree. I mean, I learned a lot from the band, but a lot of the stuff I learned from Kiss was like the human experience kind of stuff, like how to work hard, your work ethic, you know, never giving up, and honestly, God, maybe some of the humility came from them to some degree, and it's because you see the reality from you see the fantasy from the reality kind of stuff, so you don't get, you know, you don't get over excited about some stuff because you've been there, done that. You know, like people always say, well, Bill, how come you don't get as excited? Well, I still get excited, but when you grew up with the band like I did and you experienced the things I did, it's kind of hard to recreate some of that, you know?
Totally.
I mean, I saw the band when it was new and dark, and back in my day, the concerts were, they were intense. I mean, the festival seating and the noise, and you didn't have YouTube and all this other stuff. Right. So when you went to the shows, it really was an experience.
Totally.
And it was so cool to see other people, how they would react when the band hit the stage. It was like, that was almost as much fun as watching the band. So taking people to a Kiss show, they had no idea what to do. I mean, there was no DVDs. I mean, very few pictures. And, I mean, it was cool. So all those things, and I mean, those are a lot of the things I learned from the band as far as, you know, maybe how I look at things, you know. And just you know, a realistic versus a fantasy kind of thing. I mean, so I'm not going to sit there and argue over who's wearing what makeup or what costumes. To me, it's always been about the music.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, good. That's the way we are, too. Yeah. You know, one of the things I wanted to, you know how you had mentioned you weren't sure how your kids, your students would perceive the music or anything like that. But, you know, one of the things that I've mentioned on this show a few times is after that Scooby-Doo movie came out.
Yes,
you know,
yes. You're right. And that's what did it for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I would go to my son's school. He, you know, at the time he was in fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And I walk in and I'm wearing a Kiss shirt and kids, I mean, I'm not kidding. They'd walk up and go, hey, that's Kiss. I know all their names. And I would go, all right, what are their names? And they go, that's the Demon. That's the Star Child. That's the Spaceman. And it was just amazing because they have figured out a way to stay relevant in fifth graders.
Right.
Yeah, 40 years later.
I noticed that last year when some kids, I guess, must have gotten the DVD for Christmas. And it spread like wildfire. And one said, hey, did you know Mr. Starkey? He knows those guys. And all of a sudden, I'm getting all these questions after Christmas break about shit. And I'm like, well, where did you guys figure this out at? And they said, well, through the Scooby-Doo thing. And, you know, another thing that reached out to other people that get slammed a lot and poo-pooed by Kiss fans, but Family Jewels. I ran into a lot of people that had very little exposure to Kiss until they saw Family Jewels.
And all of a sudden, I'm
getting all these questions about, well, I was watching the one guy in Kiss and his family, and he seemed to like be like a pretty cool guy and all this. And I said, well, what? He said, well, it was Family Jewels. And I laughed, and I was surprised how many people that program brought in, too. Now, I'm not saying these people became Kiss fans, but, I mean, all of a sudden I'm getting these questions that I wasn't getting all of a sudden.
Right,
Because it's harder to get attention nowadays. It's very competitive.
Yeah, but you know, and that's the thing. I constantly, it's really weird because I would have people that know I'm a Kiss fan going, "Do you watch Family Jewels?" And I would always go, "Actually, no, I don't watch Family Jewels.
I really didn't either that much."
And it wasn't because I didn't love Gene. Right. It was because it kind of took away what I always thought he was. If you watch the show,
right, you know,
he kind of gets pushed around by Shannon and the kids, and
you could kind of see some of that stuff coming, couldn't you? But it was brilliant as far as the family concept and the kids, and I've always said, you know, I know Gene would put out books about, you know, being a good businessman and a marketing person. But to me, I think his crowning achievement has been being as a parent.
And I agree.
Mean, that's what I just... And Paul as well. I mean, to me, those guys are just... I mean, I know they probably think it's silly, but for me, I get more of a kick being an educator of seeing them do things with their families. Because I think that's what's really cool, that they can be a rock star, really, truly, the Clark Kent Superman thing. They can go on and be a rock star and then go right back to their families like... They never left, just like any all-American parent would, and in some ways, a lot of rock stars weren't like that, or anything like that. So, I think those were just crowning achievements in a way. I mean,
I agree.
Well, I'll tell you a really cool story, Bill. When we went, I just recently went to Virginia to meet Gene, and it was at this like comic book convention or something. He did a Q&A, and during the Q&A, this lady got up. She looked very conservative and really out of place, you know? And she walked up to the microphone after listening to Gene be very honest about everything from how do you raise your kids well to, you know, is Peter and Ace going to come back in the band? Every rant, right? So this lady walks up, and she says... I want to tell you that I really feel like I was meant to be here. She said, I don't know anything about you except for what I've ever seen on television. But she said, I feel so blessed to have been here and listened to you talk. I am so happy that my kids and I got to hear you because, you know, because the sense that he made, you know, it was, if you have somebody that's addicted to drugs and alcohol in your life, get rid of them, you know, and then it was, you know, how do you raise your kids so well? And he was like, the power of no is amazing. And
well, an amazing thing with Gene is his father left him. So to me, that makes it even more incredible. How do you know how to become a father figure when you didn't have one?
Right.
And in some ways I could relate to him because, my mother probably put more into my raising me than my father did. Even though my father helped introduce me to Kiss. So I don't know. I guess those are the things that I admire the band for, is those normal things that maybe some people take for granted, that, you know, the parenting thing. I mean, cause as a teacher, just getting any kind of parent involvement is great for me. So
if you're in public education, getting parents to get involved is amazing.
Oh yeah, it's really amazing. I mean, and especially when they're cutting your funds, it's even harder to draw them in with, like, let's say a snack or two or something like that, which can usually will work. But it's I feel my parents' pain to some extent in some way.
Right.
You know? But the funny thing with the kids is they're somewhat oblivious to it. You know, I mean,
yeah, they always
are. What's that old saying about, I never knew I was poor till somebody told me I was? I mean,
right?
You know.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, and what I was thinking about the other day was, I was like, you know, this, you know how, like, one event can change your life or at least make it exciting. And this, you know, your life has been, you know, I'm sure just as up and down as anybody else's, but there's still that little bit of excitement that, you know, you were a part of something that was so much fun, you know?
Right. And
that's so cool. You know, it's like, and now anybody can experience something like that. It's not just you with the Kiss Army, you know, it could be Jody with the podcast or me, right. You know, anything. Right. But, you know, when you see the longevity is the thing that always makes it amazing. You know, mm-hmm. Here you are, you know, 40 years later and people still know who Bill Starkey is, you know, even though there was pretty much two of you that got it started, but Bill is the guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, most people could say that their marriage and the birth of a child is probably the happiest moment in their lives, and understandably so. But since I don't have either one of those, you could say that day were in November 21st was probably the greatest time I ever had in a single day. And I was totally not expecting any of that to happen. You know, I was.
It's just totally crazy, man.
It was crazy because I just don't think any of us at that moment knew. I don't think Paul and Gene had any idea. I mean, it was just because it was following Cadillac Michigan, which was already incredible success in the way it was handled. And that's what they were trying to create. But I don't think they realized that the name and the fan club and all that and just the label for Kiss fans would just continue to move on. And I think, too, that... just the story in itself motivates people, because I used to have to fight with people over the original story versus fabricated stuff. And I'd say, no, the real story will stand on its own and fans will be able to relate to it. I said, I can't say it's anything else that's different than the way it really happened, because it would be a disservice to everybody else who was involved. And there were so many other people involved besides Jay. I mean, you know, Rich Dickerson, the other disc jockeys. I mean, so many other people had to help carry the ball. If somebody dropped the ball, none of this would have came about. So
yeah, that's pretty awesome.
And that leads probably, I guess, to be me being more humble about all this. I mean, you respect and appreciate all the other people that were with you during the fight to get the band on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how does it feel like when you see all these Kiss documentaries and they always mention you and the Kiss Army starting in terror?
Well, now all of them don't. Now there's been some that don't.
But the ones it pretty cool?
The ones that do, oh yeah, it's very cool. I mean, I'm probably just as, if not more, proud of the Kiss written stuff, the publications, you know, Kistry 1, Kistry 2, Nothing to Lose, all those. Well, I was totally flattered when Paul put me in his book, because we really don't know each other that well. You know, I probably talked more to Gene than I did to Paul. So I was really, really honored to be in Paul's book. And especially when he was ragging on a lot of people, I wasn't one of them. So it was a real honor to be included in his book. Those kind of things probably mean more to me than being on videos and stuff like that, because I don't know, I'm more of a sucker for written Kiss stuff. Like I've always got a charge out of the old stories about, you know, what it was like when they were struggling and all that, because I'd saw them three times before they really hit it, and I'm just always fascinated how quickly they rose to fame, because I could kind of see it, but I wasn't really sure of what I was seeing was real, because people would say, well, Bill, you haven't seen any other bands, this is the only band you've ever seen. And I kept thinking, yeah, but there's just something different about these guys and the way they can get the fans riled up. I mean, I what could I say? I mean, I hadn't seen any other bands. My first three concerts ever were Kiss shows.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, here there was The Who and The Stones, and people had seen all these other bands, and I don't know. I just had an idea that these guys should be famous.
Amen.
You know, so, and when you think about when I saw them in December of 1974, and then I got the plaque from them in November of 1975,
they rose pretty quickly from a band that was an opening act to a major headliner.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was those parts of my life I will never forget. And I think one of the coolest things was the sitting on the Amble case during the 75 Terre Haute show and watching most of the Kiss Alive set with Bill Coyne. And the sound was just unbelievable. I mean, I still say to this day, concerts aren't nearly as loud as they were when I went to Kiss shows. And wow. If you add the volume just to the spectacle of seeing the band, that just adds to the shock factor. I mean, it was an event. And nowadays, what, people sit in nice, neat rows, and there's like a 7-foot barrier between the stage and you. Yeah. And if you look at some of the pictures on my side, I mean, it was festival seating. You came, and, you know, of course, it was before the Who thing, but concerts were a free-for-all, man. I tell you, and $5 to get in. I mean, I'm sure there was probably a lot of riffraff in there as well, but hey, that just made for a rock and roll party.
Man, see, hell yeah. That's awesome to hear you say that.
Well, Jody, like I said, I would never trade any of my moments. I know I talk to fans who say, well, I became a fan during the 80s with Eric, and I totally respect that stuff. I really do. That's great. But I wouldn't trade what I experienced for any of it.
Nah, man, well, you were there at the ground floor, you know? Young and Hungry Kiss.
That's like... Well, I remember once Eric Singer was telling me he saw them before I did, and he was that impressed. And I couldn't believe it. I said, wow, you'd seen them even earlier in 74 than I'd seen them. Because we were just talking Kiss stuff one time, and he said, yeah, I saw them in Cleveland back in, I can't remember, early 74. And I saw them in late 74. So he had an idea then that he knew what he was seeing. So, right. You know, people have seen them before, you know, earlier than me.
I got a question for you, man. So the first shows you'd ever seen were Kiss shows. Once you finally saw another band, were you like totally disappointed?
Because hell yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, I would see the Eagles and somebody else, and these were the bands that would come to Terre Haute. And granted, these bands were getting a lot. I think it was the Eagles, the Doobie Brothers I saw. And granted, I can say now that they were good bands for what they were doing. But I would always tell the guys I was sitting with, I was going, you know, there's this band I've seen twice now called Kiss, and it's just not the same. But that's, again, none of these bands were selling out our home and center at Terre Haute either, though. I mean, the Eagles were a great band. They were getting a lot of airplay, but, you know, they could probably pack 6,000 to 7,000 in there. And the Doobie Brothers, maybe less than that. And sure, I went to other shows and I was disappointed in. But it wasn't really fair to make those kind of comparisons either, because nobody was doing what Kiss was doing as far as, you know, the intensity of the stage show. Even my father would laugh and say that when he saw the first Kiss show with me, and he doesn't even wouldn't care for heavy metal at all, but he enjoyed the rah-rah, you know, fan atmosphere that the band and the audience had. And he'd say stuff like, well, they could probably go tell those people to go out and burn the city down, and they'd go do it. I mean, and so he enjoyed that kind of that connection that Kiss had with their fans. And you know, I mean, like I said, it was pretty raw, crazy times back in those days.
Hell yeah. It's awesome.
I think I was laughing. I think I'm not going to say who in the band made a funny comment, but he said something like, how many times can we continue to listen to Starkey tell that story? I don't know. I mean, I'm not, you know, it's no big deal to me either, but if people continually want to rehash it, I think it's more of the stuff of, you know, what happened during the early days and those kind of things that probably interest people rather than just the, you know, calling the radio stuff, station stuff. But each interview that I've done, there's always been something really cool about it that the other one didn't have or whatever, and you know, it's just being accessible, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, thank you, and I'll get in touch with you tomorrow night, okay, buddy?
I'm looking forward to it, gentlemen. And no question, any questions, whatever you want to ask, I mean, you know, I mean, I have no problem with any of that, so.
Oh. Hey, okay. Bill.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Before we go, I'm not going to actually be able to make this show tomorrow. I have to frickin' work, which sucks, but I just want to say it was very nice to meet you, and You know, I was thinking about, you know, how you said, like, no kids or anything like that, but your name will live forever in these books, man. I mean, it really will. I think that's really cool.
Oh, I know. I'm kind of biased. I still think it's one of the best rock and roll stories ever.
I do,
because
too.
You've got a kid who, in Terre Haute, Indiana, which really isn't a mecca for anything, and he ends up hanging out with his favorite rock stars. I mean, it's just, you just don't do that kind of stuff. That's so cool. Even if you're a Van Halen fan or an Aerosmith fan, you know, the Kiss Army story is just one of those cool things that every fan would dream of the kind of stuff that I had happen to me. And, you know, to have be a part of it is just, it's just very flattering.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
All right. Thank you. And we'll I'll get with you tomorrow and we'll have a great time.
That's awesome, guys. You guys have a good evening. Okay.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Podcast Rock City.